Hey, everybody. Today in the Charlie Kirk Show, the great Benny Johnson from Turning Point USA and Phil Klein join us. We talk about the Student Action Summit and why you need to come down to Tampa, Florida. Bring your kids if you are a parent. Bring your grandkids if you're a grandparent. Or just bring yourself. All ages are welcome. It will blow you away. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today, tpusa.com. Turning Point USA chapters change the world. You have to start a Turning Point USA chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is a great American patriot, Benny Johnson. We are going to be talking about our upcoming Student Action Summit, amongst many other things. Benny is wearing a Barack Hussein Obama beige suit.
Excuse me. This is a gray suit. I think the coloration may be off.
Looks beige, Benny. Very questionable.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, it's not a twice laundered black shirt mixed with a hairstyle that you could find at any truck stop.
Benny, I will make no comment of whether or not you have a receding hairline. We're not going to talk about that, I promise. So, all right.
I don't wear hats for that exact reason. I was asked yesterday, you want a hat from a gun shop? I'm getting my gun certification here in Florida. You can do that here in Tampa, in Florida. You can get your concealed carry. And they were like, you want a hat? I'm like, no, I'm going to keep whatever hair I still got on the top of my head. I do not want your hat. Get it away from me. But yeah, I'm able to get a concealed carry here, something I wasn't able to do in Washington, D.C., living there for 15 years. And that's why we're very excited to be welcoming Student Action Summit, Turning Point USA, this weekend.
Benny, you've been to many Turning Point USA events. In fact, you've played a critical role in creating that kind of immersive experience. You kind of started first as an MC at one of our Turning Point events, if I remember, in SAS 18 or SAS 17, if I'm not mistaken. And yep. Then all of a sudden you're like, this could be bigger, this could be bolder. For people that are listening, what are they missing out on if they're like, oh, I don't need to go to Tampa this weekend? What are they missing out on?
You're not missing out on an event. You're missing out on an experience. The experience of saving your country is really exciting, actually. Who among us wouldn't want to go back and ride with Paul Revere? Who among us wouldn't want to storm the beaches on D-Day and tell those stories, jump into Normandy on a plane? Who wouldn't want to be part of saving a great country? And we are in a country in need of saving right now. And so the people who are gathering in Student Action Summit, Turning Point USA's Student Action Summit, not just students, it's parents, it's people
all
who
ages.
Graduated.
Yep.
It's all ages, all the way up to your grandparents, which is my mom and dad who will be in attendance, who just moved down to Florida. So it'll be a celebration of conservatism. It'll be a celebration of freedom here in Florida. And most importantly, it will be a chart path for the future, for how we save this great nation. And there is so much value in the assembly of people. That's why the right to assembly is there in our Constitution.
Exactly right.
And so we will assemble and we will chart that path with Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. I mean, who doesn't want to see the two of them, the goats on stage together? If they were joined by Tom Brady, it'd be like the modern day Holy Trinity.
It is Tampa. Incredible. You never know.
Who knows?
That's actually not a bad idea. We should actually broker an official invitation to Tampa to Tom Brady. He doesn't care, and he's a super right winger, so it'd be interesting to see. So Benny, I want to ask you about this idea of the new right, something I'm going to talk about in my remarks. We are now a movement that fights, that understands what we want. And it's interesting, Benny, you've been in this for 10 years, I've been in it for 10 years, you know kind of in the movement, and we've seen these kind of different chapters, if you will. But it seems as if there's a new attitude that is setting in, an attitude where we're not going to settle for anything less than victory. that we know who our enemies are, and we're kind of in a non-negotiable position. Your thoughts on what is the new right?
So you said it excellently a couple of years ago at a private speech that you didn't give in public. You gave to just a couple of select people at some restaurant in Arizona. And you and I have been working together for a while. And I traveled out there and you were just talking to some friends of Turning Point USA. And you said, listen, if you see AOC on college campuses tabling and walking around and being crazy and looking for some reason to be offended and relive 1968, that's going to be in Congress. That will come to Congress. Right. You said this before AOC. You said this before there was a squad, before Ilhan Omar, when it was, kind of the fuddy-duddy Jerry Nadler Democrat Party. And you said what is happening on campus will hit Congress. And those people are not your grandfather's Democrat Party. And you were right. And you were also right conversely, because what Turning Point USA and what you have created with Turning Point USA is the new right, which is the countermeasure to the AOC activists on campus. And now the new right is having their own squad in Washington, D.C. They don't get the puff pieces in Rolling Stone. They don't get to be on the cover of Vogue. Not even Melania Trump gets to be on the cover of Vogue. She's a supermodel first lady. But I digress. What we have created in the new right is a group of people. I guess if you could sum it up in a single sentence, it'd be this. People who do not see the culture wars as a net zero. Someone wins, someone loses. That's how every war goes.
Yes.
There's no stalemate with the socialists or the Nazis or the communists. There's somebody winning and someone losing. The wall either falls or it goes up even higher. And so the new right does not see it as a zero-sum game.
That's exactly
the old right did. They thought that they could just sit back and let the gray matter of society, that everything would be solved if you just didn't confront anyone. The new right saying, no, you only win if you're on the battlefield.
Yeah, so the old right is also this idea of live and let live, when in reality, it's live and let them rule. And, it's interesting. Most people on the right, you and I would love to live in that free society that we've always read books about. But now they're chemically castrating 10-year-olds. They're putting forth pornography for 7-year-olds in our schools. You have these teachers. I want to play this tape here, Benny, and it's from TikTok. And by the way, I'd love your thoughts on TikTok in general, because our audience needs to hear about it. I think TikTok is a Chinese psyop operation to get our kids to hate themselves and depressed, full of anxiety and psychiatric medication. But besides that, it's a beautiful thing. So let's play this tape here. Okay, yeah, it is tape 260. A non-binary teacher says she reads a book about pronouns and gender identity and that she got a first grader to come out as trans. The old right, Benny, would look at this tape and say, well, that's the fruit of liberty. It's great that a first grader wants to do what they want to do. But the new right has a different reaction, of which I will allow you to explain after this tape. Play cut 260.
I just read they, she, he, me, free to be, to a grade one class, and one of the students came out as trans. It was such beautiful proof that kids of any age are absolutely capable of accepting anything that they are taught with love. So please, no matter what age your kids are or what age you teach, it is so important that you teach them that trans people are valuable.
Benny?
Well, I have a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old. My 2-year-old really likes swimming. She's being raised in the great state of Florida and she loves going to the beach. She thinks she's a fish. She goes to the aquarium. She sees fish. She thinks she is a fish. And if I were to reinforce that, I would be a bad parent. I thought I was a Ninja Turtle for quite a while. Charlie, growing up in the 80s, Ninja Turtles were rad, dude. Cowabunga. My parents bought me Ninja Turtle stuff, but they never reinforced in me that I was a Ninja Turtle. And more importantly, they would never send me to a school that would reinforce that I was a Ninja Turtle or a fish or anything I pretended to be. Kids are like sponges. They'll absorb what you give to them. It's no great accomplishment that a young child is absorbing something that an adult is telling them. That's actually how society passes down information, knowledge, and values. And so this isn't some great feat that this person has done. This is abuse because the school system is not intended to be pushing your political or sexual identity on children. This is an abuse of our public school system, and I am just committed a horrible crime. It's not public school. It's government school, damn it. And if we started talking you are sending your children to government school, then I think a lot of conservatives would take a step back and say, wait a second, it's my tax dollars that fund this place. And more importantly, my children follow those tax dollars. And so if I pull my kid out, I actually hurt that tax basis, and we can start to erode the machine from within.
That's exactly right. The old right would say, oh, who are we to judge? What difference does it make? You know, the new right is not going to allow children to be preyed on by these demented pink hair people that honestly have mental conditions and they need to be helped by somebody who knows what they're doing. But you're really sick and twisted if you go after a first grader and then you brag about it and then you make a TikTok video about it. You shouldn't be a teacher. I'm sorry. You could go be something else. I'm sure Starbucks is hiring. Is it possible that what has happened to the United States and the world from COVID-19 to 9/11 are part of an ancient mystery? Is it a warning? Does the mystery tell us what is yet to come? Do we have the key to uncover it? New York Times bestselling author Jonathan Cahn takes audiences on an epic journey to uncover the stunning mystery. The Harbinger of Things to Come is available at salemnow.com. Uncover the ancient signs that warn of impending calamity. The harbingers that appear in the last days of an ancient nation have now appeared on American soil. The key, the hope, and what you need to know about the future. From Jonathan Cahn comes the explosive motion picture, The Harbinger of Things to Come. If you missed it in theaters, stream it today at salemnow.com. The Harbinger of Things to Come, the one movie you cannot afford to miss. Go to salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. I want to play this tape. Play cut 277, Tucker Carlson in Iowa talking about the new right. Play cut 277.
And I mean like Republican leaders. And just on principle, that enraged me. And it's not just the evangelicals, but it's basically the average Republican voter is not represented in a meaningful way by his or her leaders in Washington. And I cannot stress that enough. And I cannot overstate how hostile that makes me. So, you know, I have every intention of staying in the job that I'm blessed to have, but I'm going to keep hammering that. Not because I want to weaken the Republican Party. No, because the Republican Party is our only option. That's it. No one's starting a new party. Like, that's not going to work. And we need immediate attention and help. This is an SOS moment. I really feel that way.
An SOS moment. Benny, your thoughts?
Well, Tucker Carlson is in Iowa, so I'm from Iowa, and you're from the Midwest, and so that's very interesting that he's using the platform of Iowa and the first state in the nation to give these remarks. I know Tucker. I've worked for Tucker. I don't think he's running for president, but he was asked there. That's his response to, are you running for president? And Tucker didn't necessarily say no, so are things going to get super interesting? I don't know, but of course, obviously, Tucker is correct there. The easiest thing to say in our business, Charlie, is one, Benny, you have a receding hairline. And then two, Tucker Carlson is correct. Like those are the two easiest things to say in our industry. And so it is absolutely true that Tucker Carlson has been the drumbeat and the heartbeat of the Republican Party.
He really has.
And it's also very sad that the Republican Party sort of functions as the same machine, corporate machine that the Democrat Party functions as inside of the Acela corridor. You asked about the new right. I mean, I think the greatest attribute of the new right is that we exist outside of the Acela corridor, that corridor between Washington, D.C. and New York. And that creates such hive mind, such hermetically sealed hive mind that it takes over Republican brain. It takes over Democrat brain. And a lot of the thinkers and commentators in the Republican Party live inside that corridor. And it really affects them like a mind virus.
Yeah, SAS really is a celebration of the new right. And so, Benny, you have this question in the Republican Party, which is, do we need to be more socially liberal on certain things, or do we stay to our socially conservative values? 47 Republicans voted to not make government agnostic on the issue of marriage, but to make outward gay marriage the law of the land. 47 Republicans. Why are some Republicans so insistent at betraying their voters?
I think that Marco Rubio said that this is an absurd vote. It's like meant to hurt. You know, it's meant to fracture and to divide. And this is something that the Democrat Party has done very, very effectively actually is to use these schisms and the fissures inside of society to further divide and further erode what it means to be an American and to create classes, right? To like break people apart. You saw this during George Floyd. You've seen this during the Antifa riots. You've seen this in the coming days, you know, when you're going to have Joe Biden talk about the great climate emergency. Is it's further fracturing, it's further paranoia. And I think quite frankly that the left lives inside of such a vacuum. Again, we talked about hermetically sealed sort of machine eating that the left does of the gray matter that is bilged out by corporate press. They create such a fake world for people to live in that people are indeed scared that the sun will fall into the earth and will fry us all, you know, or that there's going to be, you know, government Gestapos rolling through and taking your rights every day. And, you know, Clarence Thomas will rule in a black robe above all of us with a black golden gavel that he smashes.
We can only hope.
It's paranoia. It's paranoia and it's meant to divide.
That's right. Benny Johnson, you have the Benny Report. People should subscribe and listen to that. The Student Action Summit is going to be amazing. Benny will be speaking at our Student Action Summit. He will be doing memes, probably, maybe, who knows. It's kind of what he's known for. And we have some other special guests.
We moved to Florida. This is the 1 year anniversary of us moving to Florida. So I'm going to talk about what the difference is between, you know, red and blue America, essentially.
The only thing about Florida I can't get over is the humidity. It's just not a fan. But I would take freedom with humidity any day. So... Benny, thank you so
much. You're from the Midwest, dude. You're from the Midwest. You're from Illinois. Like, humidity's bad there, too.
Yeah, it's just, you're right. This is not as bad as Florida. All right, thank you, Benny. Appreciate it. It's really out of control. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Your cash is getting sucked right out of your wallet with higher prices on gas, groceries, practically everything. Look, you got to take charge of your money right now. So here's a principle that we say. Don't use the big banks that hate you. Bank of America is canceling conservatives. A team member that we have at Turning Point USA literally just had his bank account shut down by Bank of America. Literally no longer allowed to use Bank of America because of his politics. True story. So when you want to consolidate your debt and use equity in your home to do so, to lower your monthly expenses, you have to use my friends, Andrew and Todd, at andrewandtodd.com. You have to know what you're going through. So look, I just had dinner with Andrew and Todd in Orange County. We had a great time. They love the Lord. They know the Bible super well. They're ethical. They're beautiful people. They really are. They're wonderful. And Andrew and Todd aren't brokers. They're bankers who handle your refi loan personally from start to finish. And they're always in your corner. In fact, they're helping me with a problem right now. Just all this nonsense with interest rates and all this are helping me clarify it. They're phenomenal to work with. They're responsive. They're Christians. They're conservative. It's andrewandtodd.com to beat inflation by lowering your monthly expenses and protect your greatest asset, your home. So don't use these woke banks. Bank of America, again, my team member, I'm not going to say his name. You guys know him. He's been on our show. Literally, Bank of America sent him a note saying, we are no longer allowing you to bank with us. Boom, like that, all because of politics. Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage share your values. I trust them. That's why I work with them. I hang out with them casually. And I've got to know them really well. They'll treat you right. And that when you use them, you're not using Citibank or Chase or these people that hate your values, that believe in this trans nonsense. Don't use those banks, diversity, equity, inclusion banks. Nope. Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. So just write that down right now. Write it in your phone. You might say, oh, Charlie, I don't need to refinance or whatever. Well, maybe you will 2 months from now. Maybe you young millennials out there, maybe the millennials listening to our show, my fellow millennials, you're going to buy a home soon. Maybe you're getting married and you want to buy something. It's andrewandtodd.com for a quick mortgage checkup. Use the equity in your home before it's too late. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Stop giving money to people who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com love the Lord. They love America and they're great friends. So I encourage you to use them as your go-to partner for anything mortgage related. Stop using the banks who hate you. andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is Phil Klein, former Attorney General of Kansas with the Amistad Project. Phil, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show. We'll go through multiple topics here. I want to start with the fallout from Roe versus Wade. Can you talk about some of the developments that are happening after Dobbs and the movements that are happening in certain states?
Well, what's happening in various states is threefold. First of all, you've got a group of leftist prosecutors who have signed a pledge and said, I don't care what the law is, I'm not going to enforce it. And the reality is, Charlie, that many of these Democrat officials and leftist officials have already chosen to enforce the laws that they agree with and to ignore the laws that they disagree with, rather than fulfilling their obligation as prosecutors and applying the law equally to all citizens. So that's one large development that continues, primarily funded through the Soros group and supported through a Soros-funded group called the Vera Institute. You see many of their members trying to set aside these laws. Secondly, you've got a legal battle going on in states that have trigger laws or say that when Roe falls, as it did, that we will prohibit abortion. The left is initiating new lawsuits to challenge those trigger laws in the states, and you have some judges acting to try to prevent enforcement of those laws. And then thirdly, you have what I would consider the big lie, and that is the fear-mongering of the left that is saying that every right's going to go out the window, that America is going to be terrible, and that we need to set aside the Supreme Court's role in American society by stacking the court or something along those lines.
Yeah, and so in particular, they're now talking about Obergefell, saying that that somehow might be reversed. But it's important to recognize Obergefell made law where it didn't exist. It overturned other states that had decided they wanted marriage to be one man, one woman, didn't it?
Yeah, yes, it did. And some of that criticism of Dobbs by the left, that Obergefell is in jeopardy, is premised on a concurrent opinion by Justice Thomas, in which he said, look, substantive due process, a whole line of cases that deals with the court finding in the penumbra of the Constitution certain rights that are essential to ordered liberty, is a wrong line of cases. The due process clause protects a process. You have a right before life, liberty is taken away from you to have due process of law. It should not be read as giving the court the ability to come up with what those rights are. It protects process, not the definition of rights. That's Justice Thomas's concurrence. It's also important to note that he identifies specific cases where due process, substantive due process, made horrible decisions, that thinking. And he cites the Dred Scott case as an example. That's a case in which a runaway slave was given back to his slaveholders after fleeing to Missouri or out of Missouri on a substantive due process claim of the owner that they had the right to own slaves within their state. So he points out bad cases have come from this, and he speaks to other clauses of the Constitution in which we might better rest or find these rights, specifically the Privileges and Immunities Clause. So it's a very detailed legal debate. I don't see Obergefell or any of those cases, the Casey decision as it relates to birth control, any of those cases being in jeopardy. And the plurality of the court actually stated that. They said life and abortion is different than these other cases because we are protecting a right of life and the state's right to protect it rather than restricting the right.
So what do you think that means then? Moving forward, do you think that does Congress now have to act to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act? I mean, do you think they're going to get a challenge to overturn Obergefell? What's your prediction?
Well, I think that there will eventually be a challenge, and I believe it will fail. Now, the legal reasoning of the court is going to be very interesting to watch. Are they going to follow Justice Thomas's lead and buttress up and strengthen what's called the Privileges and Immunities Clause? Recently, there have been some major cases relating to that clause, which have protected constitutional rights of citizens against city and state infringement, particularly as it relates to the Second Amendment. Whether that clause protects state rights, in other words, states have to respect the rights gathered by a citizen of another state, is an issue that may be taken up. So long and short, to summarize, I don't believe that gay marriage is going away. I believe it'll be a part of this country, whether this court continues to protect it or whether states adopt it will be the issue of the future.
So Phil, I want to shift gears and talk about election integrity, an issue that you've been spending a lot of time and energy on. Where do you think we stand now? July of 2022. You've been talking about this for a year and a half, warning people, telling them to fix things. I believe a lot of your gut instinct was reaffirmed and honestly vindicated by 2000 Mules, the film by Dinesh D'Souza, because you talked about how drop boxes could be used for this sort of fraud. Where do we stand now?
Well, the evidence is compelling and continues to come forth, and courts are finding that what happened in 2020 was illegal. But unfortunately, we are still mired into this inability to discuss 2020 because everybody turns it into, was the election stolen or is Trump lying? That is not the issue. The issue is, did government conduct the election properly and lawfully? And the answer clearly is, it did not. Did government, with the help of private interests, treat voters and ballots differently based on the ideological position of the voter? The answer is, it did. And that is improper and in many instances illegal. Did that have an impact on the election? Absolutely, it did. Have we fixed the problem? No, we have not. Some states are getting closer. Pennsylvania recently passed a good law that actually prohibits private money, and they wrote it correctly. Georgia passed a law claiming it prohibited private money and influence, but it did not. It actually adopted it and made it law. Many of our election laws still do not have accountability or any sanctions or repercussions for violating the law. Nobody is watching the shop. State legislatures still do not and have not accepted the responsibility of overseeing the election. It is still given to local officials who are told they must accept the results as told to them by vendors and others who really know what's happening. So our elections are a mess. And unfortunately, Charlie, I do not believe our political class, both Republican and Democrat, are willing to discuss the needed changes. They turn every debate into a debate about the 2022 election or whether Mr. Trump was somehow harmed by the 2020 election, which he was, or whether Biden's president. That is not the issue right now. The issue is, what's the problem with our elections? There are many. And how do we fix it? And hardly anybody's talking about it.
Why are Republicans so unwilling to actually go about fixing this?
Well, you know, I've been in that position before. And right now, what is happening is a lot of Republican leadership is thinking, oh my gosh, what's the next public opinion poll? What is my next office that I'm going to run for? Well, I have an opportunity to fare well in the New Hampshire primary, in the Republican primary. How do I distance, or how do I tie myself to Trump and his machine? Those considerations, I call it wrestling ghosts, unfortunately, seem to be the primary considerations of those who are holding public office and not the substance of policy.
Well, that's not very encouraging. Basically, it's that.
Sorry about that, John.
No, that's most Republicans. Basically, they don't care about their voters, and they just care about political power, basically.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, our political process has been corrupted to that point. And just think about it. How many media reports in the last year have you seen where they are discussing actual substance at length of policy and sitting at the table with people who have differences and discussing it rationally without engaging in cancel culture and rhetoric? You don't see it anymore. And it's that type of discussion that is the lifeblood of democracy. That's how we preserve our form of government and our liberty. And we're not doing it. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't either. I definitely don't. No, I see the opposite. They run away from dialogue. And so are there any states that have made any changes? I mean, I know the Wisconsin Supreme Court has overturned drop boxes. Is this a small victory or...
If I could, it's significant, and its significance is greater than how it is phrased. They didn't overturn drop boxes. They just read the statute that was in place for the 2020 election, which said you cannot have remote places to collect ballots unless a person is there. And that is rational. because if a person is there, they can ensure that the ballot is being delivered by a person who either was authorized by the voter or is the voter themselves, and therefore the voter is properly registered and the ballot wasn't achieved through coercion or intimidation or misleading the voter. Very important law that's always been followed. But in 2020, with Zuckerberg money, leftist officials in core areas violated that law. And they did it to benefit Joe Biden and to help get more ballots in from targeted people for Joe Biden. It was illegal in 2020, and that's what the Wisconsin Supreme Court found, that these officials violated the law. That's what they found.
Yeah, so years after we find out that we violated the law and how we conducted an election in Wisconsin, what we've been saying all along, but then why is it the people that then have won in those elections get to still hold their offices? It's just they just basically the agenda, well, let's cheat, get caught later, and get people in the office, and then smear our opponents as pushing forward the big lie. So have we made the appropriate changes to stop oligarchs that hate themselves and hate the country from funding our elections, or can this just happen all over again?
In the few states we have, and in those states, unfortunately, the Biden administration is trying to accomplish the same objective through another means. What's happened is these nonprofits still exist. They still have the same kind of partisan lean to them, and they're trying to accomplish the same things. And now the Biden administration is providing federal grant monies to them to do so. So we have this partnership, this shadow government, which is going to take more action to eradicate from the management of our elections.
Yeah, and I mean, we see this massive effort by left-wing oligarchs to do everything they possibly can to infiltrate into the actual tabulation of our elections. Phil, one of the things you brought to my attention early on is the integration of voter rolls with outside Democrat organizations such as Rock the Vote. Is that still happening?
Yes. And okay, to update your peers, Rock the Vote entered into contracts with leftist officials that gave them unique access to the poll books. They in turn relicensed that access, for example, in Philadelphia, to leftist organizations, including Democratic campaigns, who had access that Republican counterparts and conservative groups did not have and did not know about. So government is playing favorites in trading on your sensitive information.
And is this in every state, or is this in what states is this happening in?
It's the same thing. It's the swing states where these nonprofits were involved, the states that impact the presidential election. And let me say this too, Charlie. Zuckerberg's the tip of the iceberg. You know, he alone gave more money than the federal government spent in the election, but he's only a part of a huge nonprofit cabal that in the provision of talent, resources, expertise, and research provided billions of dollars to core urban area election offices to manage that election for the benefit of Biden in 2020.
That's unbelievable. Final marching orders, Phil. What can possibly be done in the next couple months before the midterms, if anything at all?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, watch the elections. Get engaged and don't let them kick you out. You have a right to be there. Be a poll worker. Be a poll watcher. Secondly, constantly ask your government, how is it using its resources to impact the election? Are you allocating resources to register people? Where are you doing it? Is it only in Democrat strongholds where you're registering people? Or are you treating the citizens of the state equally? We must insist on equal protection before the law, that every ballot and every voter be treated the same.
Amen. Phil Klein, thank you so much for joining us. And the Amistad Project, is that right?
That's right.
Everyone, go and check it out and support them. Phil, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.